It's Central Time right now here in Houston. You're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. This is Saeed, producer and host of the show, along with my co-host Mark. And we are talking about the mainstream media and the racist coverage of the Palestinian and Iraqi and Arabs in general and Muslim issues over the past few weeks. We're discussing that with Layla Al-Qattami, the communications director for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. If you're tuning in now and expecting the Haiti show to be on, well, that may be delayed. That show might be on later on this evening. The host is unable to make it to the station, so we are continuing here at Arab Voices, and we're lucky to have Layla with us. So the remaining callers on hold, we are going to get to your calls in a few seconds. Let me just make one comment. The last caller, Layla, who mentioned, you know, he was at one time he heard the comment, well, why don't we just let God decide for the Middle East, and why do we need to worry about them? The problem is we, the United States, for example, sent to Israel billions, with a B, billions of dollars every single year from our tax dollars. So we are really funding what they are doing over there. So we can't say that our hands are off, continue to give money to Israel and say, heck with them, let them have it.
Well, the other thing he was referring to with the comment that he heard was not just leave them alone so God can decide, but turn it into a parking lot or a glass desert. In other words, bomb the whole region, kill them all, and let God separate them. I think that was more along the lines of the comment that he was talking about.
Yes. Okay, let's take more callers on the line. Next one on hold is Muhammad. Muhammad, you're on there.
Hi, Saeed.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Saeed. Saeed and Mark, thanks for what you do.
Hey, thank you, Muhammad.
Layla, thanks for being on the show. Are we there?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just a couple of comments. I mean, basically what, you know, this garbage stuff we hear and the horrible bias, it's just mind-blowing injustice to the Palestinian and to civilization the way I see it. And the way I see it, this is really very, very, very demeaning to the U.S. citizens and U.S. listeners who are listening to this and being bombarded with this on daily basis, on hourly basis. I mean, this is brainwashing, and you know, I feel it's demeaning to the American public. They're being just brainwashed and just used. And these are the exact statements that I hear from American friends. I tell you, Americans have a lot of courage. And a lot of them, they started to find out, and they don't allow themselves to be used like this. And it's going to, like, you know, the first caller, Bob, I commend him for what he said, that, you know, they're going to implode sooner or later, and they're going to get back at the, you know, the Zionist movement that does this in this country. It's just so much to say. Just I guess the other point is the way I see it. Also, it looks like Palestinians are really making progress just by listening to this biased media. And when they say Palestinians are animals and you know, we should drop bombs on them and they're rats and, you know, garbage stuff like that. That's, to me, as a professional, I feel that this is an indication of that we're making progress and hopefully we'll realize victory sooner or later on this Zionist movement and everywhere in this world. Because when they go this low and talk bad like that on Palestinians, that's a very strong sign that they are not making progress, but the Palestinians are.
Yes. Okay, Muhammad, do you have any questions for Layla?
It just, you know, I mean, I wish, Layla, you could, it's not a question, just a request, if you could do something with the, like, you know, Arabic embassies, Saudi, Kuwaiti, whatever, you know, those people who have, you know, the money and the budget and the funds to really take a charge, and because that's what it is, it's all about your money. You know, the Zionists own the CNN, they own the CBS, the NBC, whatever, you know, all these outlets. That really, you know, it provoke this hatred.
Yes.
And this, you know, all these wars in the Middle East. If you can just keep pushing on.
Okay.
In that area.
Thank you, Muhammad, for your call.
You're welcome.
Layla, do you see any actions from the embassies, or do they even get involved with that, or is that even their part of their what they're supposed to be doing here?
Well, you know, the caller kind of highlights a number of different issues. One, of course, is, you know, the idea that the issues that are important to the Arab American and Muslim American communities, those issues are things are, that are germane to the community, that the community should be supporting. We really shouldn't be looking outside to, you know, whoever, what other Arab governments to fund our activities. We should be building a tradition where we support, you know, organizations like ADC, organizations like, you know, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, organizations like the Arab American Institute. We as a community are the people who should be supporting those organizations. We really shouldn't be asking and looking for Arab governments to come to us and give us money so that these institutions will be alive. It's part of being engaged. It's part of, you know, building institutions that will work for generations. ADC has been around for 25 years now. It's important that, you know, institutions like that continue to exist. It's also important to us as a community, as groups, as individuals, to support organizations like that. To the other point, I mean, it's one thing then to go to different Arab governments and solicit money for them. They would be interested in, you know, promoting their own agenda. So it's important for us as a community, as Americans, to set our own agenda, to define our own agenda, and then to enable ourselves to reach the goals that we're setting. And one of the things is we need to be engaged, and I've been saying this, I feel like, over and over, but we need to be engaged on a number of different levels. It's important that the news media hears from us. It's important that our members of Congress hear from us. It's important that your schools hear from you. It's important that your city councils hear from you. It's important that we just get engaged and we don't look to others to, you know, do it for us. We have to do it.
These are very well said, absolutely. Involvement is extremely important. Okay, 713-526-5738 is the number to call and ask question live. Again, that's 713-526-KPFT. We are talking with Layla Al-Qattami, the Communications Director for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. She is with us live over the phone from Washington, D.C., and we are talking about the mainstream media and their coverage of the Middle East, or their view of the Arabs and the Muslims, which has been very hostile in recent weeks. Let's take our next caller, and that is Tabitha. Tabitha, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for the show, first of all.
Thank you.
And thank you, Layla, for coming on the phone and talking to everybody. One of the callers actually inspired me. One of the callers was talking about the sponsorship for these media outlets, and how we, you know, the listeners and the viewers of the media outlets can actually contact the advertisers and the sponsors and call them up and tell them, look, you know, we don't like what you're supporting on the television, and we're just not going to buy your products until you start supporting something that fits our taste better. And I think it's a great way of trying to influence them. And I mean, already I had been trying to compile a list of contact information for various media organizations like MSNBC or CBS or, you know, CNN, BBC. I've got the idea in my head now that I'm going to be trying to get in touch with advertising or companies that advertise on the TV, on the radio, and letting them know that I don't support what they're supporting. I don't support the kind of message that comes out, you know, the programs and the shows that they sponsor. So really, I just wanted to say that I've got more ideas from listening to the show, and I'm glad I heard it. And I think personally, if we don't like what we're hearing on the radio, the best solution is to get active, is to respond, and to take actions and measures to combat the things that we don't like what we're hearing. So,
all right, thanks for your call, Tabitha.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may add one more thing, Layla, and give me your feedback on that. We certainly, you know, obviously we are a radio station here, and we know better to comply with FCC rules and so on. But there are some clauses and regulations that the FCC mandates radio stations. Obviously, it depends if it's carried nationwide, if it's on during what time segment of the day. the issues were said, if they were indecent or obscene or even hate issues, that people can call the FCC to file a complaint about radio shows.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's good that the last caller, you know, found what engaged her, and she's found something that's going to work for her level of engagement that you know, is going to make a positive contribution. I mean, look at your show. Your show is an example of, you know, you and Mark wanting to become engaged, wanting to find some space to articulate your viewpoints, and you did that. You have a show. It's important that people find the right thing for them. And again, you hold the people accountable, you know, whether it's elected office or whether it's the news media. And, you know, their government regulations and resources, the FCC has them. If you find something, you complain. If you don't like, you know, policies, you go talk to your member of Congress. You know, it's again, the engagement.
Yes. Let's take more callers for the night. And we have still a full bank of callers on hold. Our next caller is Nancy. Nancy, you're on there.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good.
It's a great show tonight.
Thank you.
I do have a question for your ADC guest. I'm a native New Yorker. I've been in Houston for 20-something years. Spent most of my time growing up. I'm a Christian, but I most grew up around a lot of Jews and very comfortable in that environment. And I do understand the Christian-Judeo connection, and I'll elaborate on that if you know, if we have time. But what I'd like to ask you is, when this conflict with the Palestinians it's an ongoing thing. Most Americans agree it's pretty much a disaster over there. What is the Palestinian position on letting Israel survive? Because my understanding is that the Palestinian, in Syria, for example, and in Lebanon, the textbooks don't even show Israel on the maps. The whole state of Israel is considered the state of Palestine. And if the Gaza Strip and the West Bank issues are resolved, is there ever a time when the Muslims and the Arabs can live with Jews in I mean, I don't want to call them Zionists, although I know several of them are. How do you resolve that issue in a holy land where both parties claim that it's given to them by God and that neither one is going to back away and give the other one an inch? I mean, I'd like to see some kind of peaceful resolution, and I'd like to see the Palestinians have their own homeland, but my understanding, you know, from my background and from what I hear, is that the only solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is for all the Israelis to go away. So I wonder if you could address that for me in some, you know, in some context.
Thank you, Nancy, for your call.
Well, I'm going to hold on because if I have a chance, I'd like to ask you.
We have extra time today, we'll do that. Go ahead, Layla.
You know, Nancy's highlighting really kind of a perception on both sides that, you know, neither side wants to make space or room for the other side to exist. And I think what you found already is, you know, the Palestinians have already agreed to an Israeli state. There are certain elements within both sides that, you know, certainly don't want to come to the peace table or the peace negotiations. They don't want to make concessions that they need to make in order for peace to happen. I think the important thing that we do right now is, you know, we're talking about the context, you know, the show started out talking about the context of, you know, comments made against the Palestinians in the American media following Yasser Arafat's death. You know, whatever you may feel about him, he's now no longer part of, you know, the day-to-day existence. And it's important that we now today don't continue thinking patterns of, you know, old habits and behaviors. And we actually take the time to get engaged and actually have
I did want to.
It's important that people walk away and say it's not about trying to get rid of this group or trying to get rid of that group. I mean, if you look at the history, if you look back, you know, the Palestinians and the Jews were able to live successfully, happily for a number of years. I mean, it's time that there's a solution that really accommodates the Palestinians and also recognizes the needs of Israel. And I think that both sides realize that. Both sides know that. It's time for us to get serious about that, not propagate old stereotypes.
But there's more than just Israel and Palestine involved here. You have a whole Christian group in this country, and I'm not part of it. but the John Hagee's, if you watch that on, it's 24/7. The ministries, the Christian ministries that are deliberately antagonizing the situation over there because they believe that there's a biblical dictate for Christians to push as many Jews as they can into that land and create a conflict. I don't know if it's because they want Armageddon or what.
Well, that is what they say, actually. They want to create the kingdom of David in Jerusalem so that the second coming of Christ will come about,
right,
and the end of days will arrive and the world will draw to a close.
Well, they're more dangerous than CNN or Fox because they're on five,
sure,
or six stations.
Yes, they are.
And they go constantly, and you can't change. I have basic cable, and I can't go throughout a single day and scroll through without hearing one of these what Cornel West calls them, Constantinian Christians. I don't know if that's exactly appropriate, but it's scary to me because as a Christian, I know that there's only a handful of people in the world that Christians in the world that believe, I should say a few million maybe, but not a good majority. But the majority of Christians want a peace in the world, but there's a small fundamentalist radical right-wing group that's very powerful, very, very wealthy, very well-funded, that is constantly pushing this message that it's imperative for the Christians to support the Jews in Israel, and they never mention Muslims because Muslims are not part of the equation in the Bible.
Right.
And so it's important for Muslims to defend themselves against this kind of biblical indoctrination of our entire society through our media.
Yes, and Leila, you've mentioned that before repeatedly, which is for people here to get involved and to be active and to speak up and do their best on various levels
to
counter this myth out there and the misrepresentation of what the reality and what's going on.
Yeah, there is one thing that Nancy said that I just wanted to point out. You said that both parties claimed that this land was given to them by God. To my knowledge, that's not actually true. As far as I'm aware, the Palestinians claim that this is where they've always lived.
And I'm not aware that God was a real estate agent.
The Bible has boundaries that tells you where the Jews were given this land by God. And
Right, the Jews, but not the Palestinians. The Palestinians have never claimed to be to have divine right to land. They just happen to live there.
I stand corrected.
I wasn't trying to come
fine.
Down
that's
on
okay.
you.
That's okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
But I do know that there's a definite push by this small radical group of extremist Christians that's probably more dangerous than at least as dangerous as the extremist Islamic Muslims, because they want to push, if you want any country where you have two religious factions, they're trying to push each other out, and they're the minority, but they have the most money. In this country, it's that faction of, our government, of our countrymen that have the most money that are wielding this kind of power. The churches have incredible power in numbers.
So, Nancy, we have a lot of people on the line, so we have to let you go.
And I'm going to listen, and thank you for taking my call.
And thank you, Nancy, for calling, because her views are really...
We appreciate it.
Good luck to us all.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Leila, a quick comment on the religious right in this country. It's a label that gets thrown around a lot. Is there such a thing, and what do you make of that phenomena?
Absolutely, there's such a thing. And one of the things that Nancy was talking about is the presence in the media. There's definitely presence in the media. There's also, a strong presence, in politics. And in ramifications, evangelicals, as a general rule, they come out, they turn out, they vote, they contact, they're engaged, and they exert an inordinate amount of power and control in dictating and setting the topics and agendas. And that's why it's so important for us to claim that space, to get back into that political discourse, to get into the discourse and claim and set what we want to set, and not let other people set our agendas for us.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number. Again, it's 713-526-KPFT. If you call us and you get a busy signal, that's because our phone lines are completely full. Our queue is to the limit. And this is an interesting topic, but let's take more callers. Our next one on hold is Fahed. Fahed, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Fahad. You're on there.
Sorry, it was Fahad. But I just want to say I really appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm a Hispanic, but I just converted to Islam through marriage. And I really did have kind of a warped view of Islam, and not generally because just of media, but also because of lack of education through school. But I also wanted to know, what can we do on the flip side, like Zero TV and all these other networks that portray the American army and also Americans as mainly all Jews and just having, just wanting to basically eradicate the world of Muslims. Well, I mean, what can we do as people to, I guess, to reverse that view from all these networks in the Middle East?
Okay, thanks for your call, Fahad.
Thank you.
Laila?
I
guess he's referring to the satellite TV networks and how they talk about and describe the like U.S. occupation troops or the Israeli occupation forces and so on.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the thrust of his real question is here, but obviously, you know, he's talking about a personal experience. He was in a situation where he didn't know much about Islam in Iraq. Islam and Arabs, and he then found whatever it was for him that changed his perception. In terms of, you know, media portrayals, we've been talking about this on a number of different levels. I think perhaps if he's talking about the Arab world, certainly the lens that we're turning on the U.S. media is the same lens that we should be turning on the Arab media. There shouldn't be space for any type of hateful rhetoric or dialogue in the Arab media, just as there shouldn't be space for it in the U.S. media.
Yes. Okay, we have more callers on hold. Next ones would be Dino, and then Maggie, and then Ahmed. So, Dino, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks. I'm on the planning committee for the this Saturday's KPFT Peace Party, and I'd like to invite the Palestinian advocacy groups, if any, to come and table and make a statement to the crowd. As far as what the lady had just said about the media, besides David Rovix, the progressive folk singer, we're having Professor Robert Jensen. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Texas, and he is a media critic. His topic will be how U.S. Media pacifies the public.
And he's an outstanding professor, by the way. We had him on the show three times already over the past 2 years.
Excellent. That's what I was just going to ask you, actually. I remember hearing him definitely on KPFT. I wasn't sure if we'd had him on or not.
I sure did. We had him three times, actually.
If you could, please play the public service announcement.
We did at the beginning, actually. I can play it again as we go out, but yes. We played it at the top of the show.
Certainly. Wonderful group, though, with David Rovix singing two sets. Professor Jensen will be talking. It's a benefit for KPFT and the Houston Peace and Justice Center. David Cobb, the Green Party 2004 presidential candidate, is also stopping by. So we're real lucky, and we'll probably have a dozen different peace and social justice groups, environmental, animal rights group, vegan fair, and it's going to be a good fun and educational time. And I'll let you guys get on with your program.
Thanks, Dino. I'll try and play that announcement as we go out, and I would like to echo Dino's thoughts in inviting as many Palestinians and Arabs and Muslim Americans who are listening to really take part in this station. It's one of the only places you'll be able to really have your voice heard, and maybe you'll meet other people and you'll get some ideas, and you know, maybe you'll have an impact somewhere that you hadn't thought you could before.
And I know, Laila, we've been on the air live since you know, you've been with us for you know, almost an hour and a half now. I know you're in Eastern time, so it's almost 12:30 where you are. And maybe we'll just take a couple of more calls, even if we continue, because, you know, we're live. We don't want to put you on the spot and stay very late. But we really appreciate that. This has been really great and excellent to have you on. So let's take...
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's try to take a couple of more calls. Next one is Maggie and then Ahmed. Maggie, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling back. I have a quick comment to the guy about free speech. I think if it was a radio show of black women who were saying we need to go to the country club and bomb those white golf-playing guys, that people's perception would be different about it being okay to say those kinds of things on the air. And the other thing I want to say to Nancy is that I was really glad she was brave enough to ask the question that she asked about Israel. But, you know, she mentioned she was reading Cornel West, so she probably has a good understanding of racism in America and, you know, white repression of black people in this country and how it affects all of our lives. And so what we have to tiptoe around is the fact that there is a concerted effort in this country to get the get a pro-Israeli agenda and idea out there, and to specifically look for Palestinian and pro-Arab programs or anything that's happening in a community on an individual level, and try to stop that from happening. And so, you know, there's like what she said about about the state of Israel not wanting to exist. I mean, I'm sorry, but in the Knesset of Israel hangs a map that shows Israel that goes from the Nile to the Euphrates.
And that's, you know, by the way, that's what the Israeli flag stands for, with the Star of David in the middle, and they have two blue stripes. One, according to them, representing the Euphrates Nile, and one representing the Nile River, and that's the Kingdom of David. That's Israeli state. That's their flag.
Oh, my God, I didn't realize that. But, I mean, Americans do not understand that, you know, they're like, I remember hearing, okay, that people would say Arafat was a millionaire. Arafat, you know, spend all this money on his wife when he didn't have a wife, that he, you know, owned a perfume company, that Arabs cut babies out of the stomachs of Jews. I mean, it would be the same. You could hear those same stories being repeated.
And the most important thing here is there has been so much diversion from the facts on the ground, from the real issue, which is that the Palestinian occupied territories, which is the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem, this is the land that was occupied by force by Israel in 1967. This is the only land the Palestinians are asking for, the only land that they are calling for. It's their land that has been taken by force since 1967. United Nations resolutions 242, 338, and many others, they call on Israel to withdraw from the land that it occupied by force. That's where 3.6 million Palestinians live. Under military occupation, day in and day out, they live in a misery there. They don't want the occupation. They want it to end. And that's when peace will prevail.
And that is not what Americans understand. Americans feel like that Israel is the underdog.
Yes, of course. That's the image that's presented.
You know, and so that's what, you know, that's what we're up against. And that's what someone like this woman, this Nancy, who she sounds so concerned, and you can tell she's feeling with her heart the situation, and she's listened to her friends tell her this about Israel, and that is the plight of Americans, that they are good people, that they have been intentionally misled in order to keep supporting the state of Israel. And so, I mean, it's, you know, the Israelis are all in Douglas Feith's office and Paul Wolfowitz's office behind this war. Come on, nobody wants to talk about it, because everybody says, oh, you're anti-Israel, you're anti-Jewish, you're anti-Semitic, and it's not, you know, because you want to discuss our huge amount of tax dollars that go to the state of Israel and find out what happens there with that tax money, that's our tax money. Asking those questions is not anti-Israel. It is just our responsibility as Americans.
All right. Thank you, Maggie, for your call again.
Thank you so much for the program. Bye.
Thanks, Maggie. And Maggie, I don't want you to feel bad. I think the majority of Americans, and in fact, the majority of people that I've met, don't know that the Israeli flag, the two stripes, stand for the Nile and the Euphrates. I don't think most people know that. Yes. And it should be a more widely publicized fact. Perhaps people would have a better understanding of the conflict if they knew this. Said, we've got about a minute left. We have to go to Sprouts, which is up next. It's a weekly news journal magazine that's going to be up between 11:30 and midnight. So
okay, unfortunately, Ahmed, he was the last call. I'm not sure if he's the one who called there or not, but regardless, since we have a minute left, let's go ahead and take him, if he has just a comment or a quick questions for our guest, since he's the only one left on hold. Ahmed, you're in there.
Yes, thank you.
You have to make it very brief, I'm afraid.
I just have a couple of comments. One that I wish to say, for the first time I've really ever heard you that said something that had any teeth to it.
Ahmed, we'll have to ask you to make it quick if you can, please.
Focusing toward the FCC regulations. And then my other thing is to the guest is that she skipped the second part of my question. Without asking targeting the Arab governments, we couldn't really solve a lot of problems. And they all are cooperating with the United States in the death and destruction in Iraq, with bases